Back in the Lord's house tonight. Thankful to see each one that's come out to be a part of the service. Been such a blessing to be here so far this week, and look for the Lord to bless again tonight as he has through the week. For those of you that hadn't been here, I just mentioned kind of at least the thought that's been on my heart through the week and trying to revive the church and encourage the church. We started Sunday with just the importance of God's Word. And I mentioned then that I'm just a human being. I'm just an old redneck from Summerall, and the only thing good in me is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody's revived, it's going to be through the Word of God, and it's going to be through the Spirit of God. And we look Monday night at just resting in the Lord. A lot of times we get caught up in the cares of life and get distracted by things of life, and it's just so important to be still and know that God's God, and to let Him fill us up. Last night, we looked at sacrificing ourselves. I believe that's important to revival. To be revived, we've got to sacrifice ourselves and be filled with the Spirit of God. Tonight, what's on my heart is the provision of God, that whatever we stand in need of, I believe God will provide it if our heart's in the right place. If we stand in need of revival, God will provide revival. As Brother Brad said, He will fill our cup up if we'll let Him, if we'll get ourselves out of the way and we'll hear the Word of God. For what it is, as Paul mentioned in the Bible, that we would hear it as truth, as it is the Word of God. We're going to start tonight in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And let me make these couple of statements before we begin reading tonight. I know it's human nature, and I mentioned a little bit of this last night. I think a lot of times this works for us men. Well, I know it is. It's human nature to feel like we've got to work, we've got to provide, we've got to do. And a lot of times we take it completely on ourselves, and I've been guilty of relying upon myself. And I see a lot of young people, to some degree, getting caught in the trap of just feeling like they, I don't know, for lack of a better term, just feel like they have to have everything else everybody else has, maybe that's worked all their life for. And if you're not careful, you can jump out when you're young and just get married and get yourself in debt to the point that you don't have any option. But husband and wife's got to work round the clock, 24/7. And I've seen a lot of people, even a lot of people I used to work with, get themselves in a condition financially that I've seen people lie. I've seen people cheat. I've seen people get to the point they feel like they have to steal in order to make ends meet. And I believe we as God's people, we're blessed. I believe we could be content with a whole lot less, honestly. But my point tonight is if we'll do as God's asked us to do, and we'll live as God's commanded us to live, I believe He'll bless us. And He can bless in ways that we never think possible. I've seen times that there may not seem like there is a way for God to bless and help in a situation, and He's come shining through. He showed what He can do. Brother Brian asked me about a song tonight, and I was looking for the song Little Is Much When God Is In It. I love that song. It's so true. Such a blessing to even hear. But tonight, if we could get our lives in the center of the Lord's will, and we could have faith, and we could watch Him, or we could back up and we could trust Him, then God can and He will provide. He'll provide whatever we need. He'll provide revival. He'll provide us just drawing closer to Him again, whatever we need tonight. He's proved that time and time again. And I'm going to look at some examples tonight where He's proved that in His Word. And going to look more tonight at material and physical things to start with, and going to mention some spiritual things as well toward the end. But starting in 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to look at the prophet, not Elijah, for just a few minutes. Excuse me. Verse 1, and Elijah, 1 Kings 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as I said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And I'm going to stop reading there, the end of verse 16. But here Elijah finds himself on the run from King Ahab. He's prophesied that there wouldn't be any rain. A lot of times we get hung up on just the rain, but if you notice back in verse 1, he said there'd be no dew nor rain. There wouldn't be dew nor rain. And we know that was a space of about 3.5 years. And God tells him to flee to the brook Cherith. It's where he finds himself, and he flees to that brook. And it's a very neat situation to see this played out in the Scriptures, that God commanded the ravens to come and feed him. And they bring him bread and flesh, the ravens do, morning and evening. Now, who's ever heard of such as that? That's kind of a neat thought, that the ravens bring Elijah bread and flesh. And you can believe it, it's in God's Word. He can't lie. He's not capable of lying. But that's such a neat thought to look at this now. Where did the bread and the meat come from? I don't have any idea. All I can say is God provided it. How did the ravens know to bring it to Elijah? How did the ravens know to do that? There again, all I can say is God's in control. I look at it about the same type situation of how the animals knew to load up in the ark. You don't see where Noah was out there roping and dragging them in there, but they knew to do it. I tell you what, I've been raised up around cows and stuff all my life. A lot of times you see bad weather coming and they'll huddle up. They'll get up in the woods if they can, that sense of danger. But regardless, all I do know is that the ravens were commanded by God to come and feed Elijah, and that's exactly what they did. Now, as he's being fed by the ravens, I want you to notice the other part of the situation here. Verse 6, he's drinking of the brook. Now, verse 7, it's a neat thought to me. It came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain. So in my mind, at least I put myself in Elijah's shoes here. God's providing the food, but you steadily watching the water supply decline. And it's not raining. You know that it's not going to rain. And I believe in one sense this was a test of his faith. I believe that God was testing his faith to see what he was going to do. And after the brook dries up, verse 7 tells us that the brook dries up. And after that, verse 8, then the word of the Lord comes to him and lets him know to go to Zarephath. So again, I believe his faith was being tried and tested here just a little bit. So after the brook dries up, he's commanded to go to Zarephath. And God lets him know there that he's going to be fed, he's going to be sustained by a poor widow. And as long as he's there, the meal and the oil that she has never dries up. And they ate many days, is what the Bible said. They ate until the rains come. I want you to look at it, and at least a neat thought to me. In verse 12, she mentions her and her son, that her and her son's getting ready to fix a meal. And you see even in verse 13 that he says, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. All right, so we've got her and her son in verse 12. We've got her and her son in verse 13. And now we move to verse 15. And all of a sudden, the wording changes just a little bit. Verse 15 says she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he. Now, that's her and Elijah and her house. All right, so it was her and her son and her and her son, and now it's she and he and Elijah is who that's referring to. So it's she and Elijah and her house. And so why the word change? And I got kind of interested in that and studied that out. I think it's a very neat thought. That this word house, it doesn't just mean her place of residence. That's not just referring to her house, the literal house that she lives in. But what I thought was neat, it's her extended family, is what it says. So it's not just her and her immediate family, her and her son anymore, but it's yet her and her son and her family, her extended family. Her family and her relatives. I tell you what I believe in looking and studying it out, a famine over a period of 3.5 years. I believe people could about come by, and they were probably scrounging for whatever they could find to eat, is what I believe. And they could about come by and see that this little widow woman here and her son and Elijah, they all seem to be making it okay. They could probably tell that they've been eating. And I believe everybody that came to this house, I believe was fed. That's what I believe. And I don't believe I'm stretching the scriptures to get there. But what you see in this passage is God's provision for Elijah and even for the widow woman here and her willingness to help the prophet of God. And God provides here, and at least in our mind, it's some kind of strange ways. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times when help from God comes, I've noticed sometimes it can be from areas we least expect. It can be from people that we least expect. Elijah, I don't know if he expected God to help him through ravens. If you go back and study ravens at this time, and maybe still to some degree, ravens were an unclean animal. But nevertheless, God used them to provide for Elijah. Now he goes on to the town of Zarephath. And you would think if God's going to send you provision through somebody, at least me in my mind, I'm thinking now, and y'all think with me. If God's going to provide for you and you're going to go to a town and he's going to put you in somebody's home and we're going to eat, I'm just assuming he's going to send me to somebody's house that's well off, that can afford to take care of me and feed me, or either send me to the king's castle or something. But he sends Elijah to a little poor widow and she's got enough for one more meal, is what she's saying. Matter of fact, she was preparing her last meal, verse 12. At the very end of it, she's fixing to dress her last meal. She says that me and my son, that we may eat and die. As far as this little lady knows, this is the last meal she's ever going to eat. And she's in bad shape. But it's amazing to me, every time God gets involved, Brother Brad, it's always more than enough. It wasn't just enough, it was more than enough. It fed them for a long period of time. It doesn't say how long, but it very well could have been 3.5 years. I don't know how long he was at the brook. But again, a lot of times we've got preconceived notions in our mind of who God can use and who he can't, what God can do and what he can't. Who did the Lord Jesus Christ spend the majority of his time with? It wasn't the religious rulers. It was the Samaritans, the publicans, the harlots, a lot of the people that the world would have nothing to do with. And he was a blessing to them. So my point is, God's not limited by who he can use. I think a lot of times we underestimate God and what he's capable of doing, and even his ability to provide for his people. David said, I believe it was Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. He said he was young, and now he's old. And what did he say? He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, that's one thing I hadn't seen. And I would say to us tonight, we may not be eating steak and shrimp every night, but I think we'd all have to admit we're not doing without. I think we'd all have to admit that God's been good to us, that he's blessed us. Let's look at another passage in 2 Kings now, chapter 4. We're going to move from Elijah to Elisha and look at another passage of Scripture here in 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. All right, so here Elisha is approached by a widow woman. And I think it's very important, at least it is to me, to note that her husband, she said, has passed away. But what was important is she tells him back in verse 1 that her husband was a man that feared the Lord. I believe that's important. And he's passed away. And he's left her with a debt that she's unable to pay. And in this day, from what I've read and studied and what I understood, that if there was a debt that you couldn't pay and you didn't have anything to give and you had children, then you had to give them. You had to give them as slaves to whoever you owed the debt to. And I believe that's the point that she's at. It tells us here that she's in pretty bad shape. The creditor's not just calling. He's not just knocking, you know, at the door and calling, but he's here. He's come. He's come to take them, is what she says. He's come to take her two sons to be bondsmen. So she's in a bind. Any way you look at it, the creditor, he's here. He's coming to get them. And she comes to Elisha. And Elisha just asked her, What do you have in your house? And I'm going to tell y'all, I believe the Bible, just like it says here in black and white. She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I believe this woman was dirt poor is what I believe. And I believe she was in the situation that she didn't have anything. Again, I believe it just like it's written. I believe, what I personally believe is anything of any value in that house, I believe she probably tried to get rid of. She probably tried to set it off. She probably tried to do whatever she could do to get this debt down to where she could get it taken care of. If I know any good mother, she's down to, all she's got left is this little pot of oil and her two sons. And they're coming after her two sons. All right, so Elijah commands her to go out in the bar. Empty vessels, what that is, just pots and pans, anything that would hold some oil. And he tells her, bar not a few. All right? Now, one thing I want to point out, they go out, at least from what I can see here, they bar just about as many as they can find. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe the number of vessels that they went out and got, that was proof of their faith. I know in my heart a lot of times how I do things. I'm afraid I'd have doubted just a little bit. I'm afraid I'd have went out, Brother Brad, and just got a pot or two, and we'll see how this goes. And if it goes like I think it should, then I'll go scrounge up some more. But I believe they went out and got about all that they could find. The reason I say that, verse 6, she's pouring out the oil, and she tells him to bring another one, her son, and he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And what I believe, not only was she out, but I believe they'd about rounded up all they could round up. And one thing I love about this passage is God's provision was just as large as their faith. If you notice very closely, again, they got all they could find. What I believe, if they'd have come up with 155-gallon drums, I believe that's how much they'd have had. They'd have had 155-gallon drums full of oil. If you notice very closely, the oil only stayed, and that means it just stopped pouring. The oil only stopped pouring when they ran out of vessels. And again, such a neat thought to me. Look at the end of verse 7. She comes and she tells Elijah. He says, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. And listen at the last part. And live thou and thy children of the rest. So we see here she paid her debt off. And not only that, she had enough for her and her children to live off of. Now, I don't know how long that was. The Bible doesn't say. But again, here we see God bless, and we see His provision being more than enough. And that's time and time and time again through the Scriptures. You look at Jesus' miracle when He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and He feeds 5,000 folks. That's a miracle in and of itself. And then you go back and look, and there was 12 baskets of fragments that they took up. I've looked at that before, and I know He had 12 disciples. I don't know if that wasn't a test of their faith, that they saw what He could do, and then they had 12 baskets. That's about a basket apiece to carry back with them. I just believe He was showing what He could do. Now, you wonder how many times we limit God by our lack of faith. The Bible tells us that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You stop and think about that just a minute. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I tell you what again, God can make a little go a long way, can't He? I heard a man make the statement before, as far as regarding money, regarding how much he made. He said, it's not how much you make. He said, it's how much God blesses what you make. I believe there's a lot to that. That if we put Him first and we trust Him, and we get in the center of His will. Again, a lot of times we get so focused on material things. We get so focused on physical things. And if we're not real careful, we can neglect what's most important. We can neglect our spiritual condition. And that's most important. A lot of us get it backwards. If we're not careful, I find myself putting myself and my family first. Putting me and my family ahead of God. And I know that's human nature. Philippians 2, I believe it's verse 4, said, look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. A lot of times we get selfish. A lot of times we get greedy. And I believe that hinders God from blessing us. That shows a lack of faith. Listen at one scripture in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 6. If you want to turn with me, Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, verse 31. Matthew 6, verse 31. Says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says, take no thought for that. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's talking to His disciples here. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know we've all heard that statement before. But what God's basically telling His disciples, if you have faith and you trust me, you put me first. He said, I'm going to meet your needs. You're not going to have to worry about that. And you think about that woman with the meal. Any way you look at that woman with the meal, she put God first. She fed Elijah first. And I'm going to tell you something. That's very selfless to do that. That took a whole lot of faith. I'm going to tell you from the bottom of my heart tonight, if I knew that my kid was starving and I had one more meal and I could feed him or feed some stranger, I don't feel like I'd have done the same thing she did. I don't know. It would have took a whole lot of faith to do what she did. Now, she had been commanded of God to feed Elijah, and she did that. But I wonder what we'd have done. I wonder what we'd have done. I wonder if we'd have put God first. I wonder if we'd have obeyed Him or if we'd have served ourselves. Tonight, I want to remind you of this, that God knows what we need. There's not a thing that we need that sneaks up on God. He knows our needs. He knows what we need. He knows how much we need. A lot of times we're guilty of wanting more and more and more and more and more. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned. It's probably a blessing that we don't have more than we have. Because what I've learned is it probably go to our head and we'd be prideful. And we'd get to the point that we depend on that more than we depend upon the Lord. And again, He's already been so good to us as it is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Tonight are we seeking His kingdom first above everything else. Listen at 2 Corinthians, last verse I'm going to read and we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8. Well, I'm going to back up and read verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Listen to verse 8 real close. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That's a very neat thought. But again, God can bless in ways that we never thought possible. He mentions it's important for us to be a cheerful giver, that we don't be, that we're not grudgingly giving. And I'm not even talking on the tithing or monetary tonight. I believe it's more than just that we would give willingly, that we would give cheerfully of our time and of ourselves, that we would seek to put the Lord first. And I believe if we can do that, if we can put the Lord first and seek Him first, then our needs would never be a concern. We wouldn't have to worry about our needs. And I believe that could be physical and spiritual as well. And if we put Him first tonight, we could have a true revival. In Philippians chapter 4, I believe it was verse 19, the statement's made, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Tonight I want to ask you, what do you need? What do you need? I don't mean you hear a lot of this false religion. Man out in Houston, I can't remember his name, Joel Osteen. A lot of this, what Brother Darren Webb called it last week, was the name it, claim it movement. The prosperity gospel is what I call it, that you just ask God whatever you want in Jesus' name and He's going to give it to you. It don't work like that. He's not going to give you a new bass boat. He might, but I don't believe it works that way. What I'm talking about tonight as far as needs and spiritual needs, what do you need to help you serve the Lord more? What do you need to help you be more faithful? I believe those things, if we'll truly seek the Lord and we'll put Him first and we'll trust Him, He'll provide what we need to be more faithful to Him. He's blessed so much more than we deserve. Tonight, if you're here and lost, what I want you to see tonight is that your greatest need is a spiritual need. You may have every material thing that you've ever wanted. You may have wealth. You may have riches. But tonight, if you don't have salvation, all of that's not going to do you any good in eternity. You're going to spend eternity in hell. And your need tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. God met your need in Christ. When He died on the cross for your sins, God met your need. And He's paid your sin debt. And He's given you that gift. He's put that gift before you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is accept that gift. Would you do that tonight? I talked to a young man the other day, that maybe this can be a blessing to you. A man called me the other night. That's been a little while back, but I asked him about being saved, and he's still lost to this day. But he told me, he said, "I've tried everything I know to do to be saved." And he said, "I'd love to be saved." He said, "I'd give anything to be saved." And he said, "I've about done all I know to do. I've tried everything that I know how to try." And he said, "What's your suggestion?" And I said, "Quit trying. Quit trying." I said, "Jesus has done it." I said, "He died at Calvary. He was placed in the tomb. Third day, the tomb was empty. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Today, I said, the work's done. I said, all God's asked you to do is repent and believe that with all your heart. And I'm going to tell you what I found myself doing before I got saved. Brother Brad, I was the same condition. I tried my best to help God save me. And when I finally just gave up and accepted what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, that's when I was saved. And if you'll do that tonight, God will save you. May God bless you. We'll have a verse of a song. If you have a burden or prayer request, you feel free to come while we sing. Let me say this tonight. I normally mention this. Every revival we're in, I hadn't mentioned it yet, but I'm going to say it now. And I feel like I can speak for Brother Brad with this as well. But tonight, if you're here and lost, I don't know your heart, I don't know the condition, but above everything else, I want to see you saved. And I make you this promise. I will stay here with you till midnight or till 7 o'clock tomorrow night talking. If that's what we need to do, we'll pray for you. I can't save you, but I can point you to the one that can. And I'd be glad to talk to you, pray for you, whatever. If you want to talk, we're here for you. May God bless you.
539 in the big book, page 539.